everyone out there in podcast land, and welcome back to the Front Row Podcast on NPR Illinois, the podcast for people who actually like movies. I'm Jeremy Gechner, the editor-in-chief, and I have such a great episode here for you today that I am so excited for you to hear. Way back in like February or so, we got approached and got the opportunity to do an interview with the director and the subject of a brand new documentary coming out called A Most Beautiful Thing. Now, that delay, release was delayed because of obviously the coronavirus pandemic, but we're so proud to now have the release of this film, A Most Beautiful Thing, coming out not only theatrically but also on VOD. So we finally got the opportunity to sit down. We are going to be sitting down here. You're going to be hearing my interview with Mary Mazzio, the director of the film, and Arshay Cooper, one of the subjects of the film. Now, this documentary, it tells the tale of the Manly rowing team, the Manly High School rowing team in Chicago. This was the first African-American rowing team in the United States. And it just tells this tale of how they overcame their circumstances to form this team, but also how how that perseverance helped to get them out of this cycle of violence and despair that happened so often on the west side of Chicago, especially when they were growing up there. And so this film, it's just so beautiful. It's so inspiring, especially at a time when we need this, because there's also some sections in here that are so amazingly prescient to the political debates that we are having today, specifically about the police and the role that they play in our communities, about racial tensions, about income inequality and safety inequality, just so many prescient things that they were dealing with here before any of it came to as big of a national spotlight as it is right now. So I got to sit down with Mary and Arshay to talk about the film, to talk about what they want the legacy of this film to be, what it was like making it, how to juggle all these stories that they're telling in it. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I was so happy that I got to sit down with them. So that's going to be it for me right now. What you're about to hear is my sit down with director Mary Mazzio and subject Arshay Cooper of A Most Beautiful Thing. So please enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Front Row Podcast here. And we want to thank Mary Mazzio. Is that how you say your last
Mazzio.
Name?
Mazzio.
Mazzio, I thought
you know
so.
What? Close enough.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Mary Mazzio and Arshay Cooper, the subject and the director of the new documentary, The Most Beautiful Thing. Guys, thank you so much for being on the Front Row today.
Now he's the director. I love
no,
it.
No, Mary's the director.
Well, no, I was trying to do both. I was trying to do both. Mary's
I just
directing and
Arshay's
the subject.
Oh, okay.
Ah, man, words and language and stuff. Guys, thank you so much for being here and talking about this new film with us today.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you for having us, Jeremy.
Thank you. I'm excited.
All right. Well, I have to always, anybody who comes on the Front Row for the first time, we always ask the same cringe-inducing question. So get ready, everyone. Very simply, Mary, Arshay, what are your favorite movies?
Arshay, you want to take that first?
Yeah. I would have to say Remember the Titans.
Yes. What a great choice.
one of my all-time faves. Along with, and we named our company's name 50 Eggs Films after the old Paul Newman movie.
Yes, Cool Hand Luke. Yes, I thought that's what it was. I have a friend. We went through the AFI's top 100 films in college, and so he introduced me to all those classics. And so, right when I saw that production company, I was like, "I'll bet that's Cool Hand Luke." That's so fantastic. Great choices there, guys. And yeah, Remember the Titans, Arshay. I can't tell you how many times I tried to do Herman Boone's speech to Petey when he first meets him about, oh, you think football's fun? I just think that's one of the best scenes I've ever seen.
Zero fun, sir.
Zero fun, sir. God, Donald Faison, he's so great there. All right, great picks, guys. Thank you so much for doing that. That's just kind of our nice little icebreaker. But you guys did great. Most people are like, oh, no, I can't say one. You know, so it's one of those things. But we are here today to talk about A Most Beautiful Thing. Just an absolutely wonderful film, guys. I got the pleasure of watching it last night. It is so moving, so uplifting in a time when we definitely need that. You know, the film delves really deeply into
various kinds of trauma, I feel. And, you know, I do in my day job, I work with a child abuse prevention charity. So I'm very, you know, in the world of childhood trauma and just how that can affect everything, especially when that trauma happens at a young age. There's so many traumatic things that happen to the people in the families in this documentary. Mary, like, how hard was it for you to kind of balance all of those stories and to keep the viewer from being overwhelmed with the tragedy of the circumstances we're hearing that Arshe and the rest of these guys are overcoming?
You know, thank you for that question. And I think, honestly, it was my job to let the story unfold and to let Arshe, you called him a director at the head of the program. And in fact, in many ways, you know, it's really important that that he speak his truth and his truth to power. And what does that mean? It means showcasing all of the impediments that citizens on the west side of Chicago face on a daily basis, right? Starting at age zero, which we are seeing play out right now, right? In the current national debate. And yet, so important that you don't leave a viewer coming out of a theater, like wanting to just be so depressed and overwhelmed and paralyzed. And so I think as a person who builds the scaffolding for stories, really like Arshe's, of underrepresented voices, I think it's really important that the message is and remains simple, right? And so that the viewer can say, oh, I love Arshe. I love Alvin. I love Malcolm. What can I do to help eradicate some of these impediments these young men face? Right. Impediments, by the way, which are un-American fundamentally. And and so I think that is at the heart of sort of designing the architecture around something like this. Thank you for that comment, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And Arshe, what was it like for you to kind of like just relive your life in this documentary setting and just kind of the process of being there and sitting down and talking about these things and the stuff you've gone through along with the road, the crew team and everything that came from that?
I will say that, you know, there's certain things that people will say in their lives that I never want to relive again. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people it's a breakup and for some people it's the way you grew up. But those things have to be faced. I think one of the young girls said certain things have to be talked about in order to heal.
Right.
And so I think for all of us as a unit, myself and the guys, it just brings us closer, right? And it brings us closer to understanding the need of the world by hearing each other's story. We knew we had a story, but I mean, we didn't know so much of each other's story. And so that brought us just closer together. And again, it was exciting and fun to be on the water, to get to hang out and just to just be a part of the sport and relive things again. But at the same time, we learned a lot about each other. We learned a little bit more of what's going on in the world. And Mary just created an opportunity to capture burden, want to see our city change, you know, and we want to do more. And so, you know, so out of that whole thing, what came out of it is that, like, we want to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of my favorite sections of the film is where you guys are trying to get back in shape to do the Chicago sprints again. And I just thought that was just so charming, especially because, you know, I'm feeling a little out of shape myself at the moment. And so I'm just like seeing somebody do that.
Like the Tin Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I'll tell you this, if our director wasn't a rower, we would not have worked that hard.
There you go, baby.
So again,
we were like, no, we only have to do this once. Just the way it works in rowing. We only have to do it once. We're the professionals. We know.
Right, exactly. Well, and I mean, like, so which was, like, more complicated for you? Like, just, like, the initial starting of it all the way back in high school or, like, getting back into it all those years later?
I would say 20 years ago, it was more about just getting over the fear, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this time around is just, like, kind of like, you know, the challenge of just being old and being out of shape and just like, you know, just like, oh my God, I hope we don't embarrass ourselves, you know? And so, But, you know, it's like you saw, it started off really rocky and shaky, just like it did 20 years ago when we first started. But bringing in the Olympic coach really kind of simplified things for us. It made it a lot easier for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just a really, really fun section there. And it just gave me the drive that I want to try it now, you know. So, you know, in this movie, you know, so many times this movie is dealing with a lot of big, big issues, Mary, that you talked about, you know, and, you know, sometimes we hear about big problems like, you know, gang violence or drug addiction, income inequality. And it just seems like there's just such a divide that people who don't experience that just can't quite get over. And so, Mary, like, how important was it for you to make sure that you really did put a human face on these problems so that people would have to be confronted with this and would have to deal with it, even if they've never experienced it?
You know, it's interesting. I think the beauty of film and music, right, is that it's an emotional, you can say things in an emotional way that a white paper, that a policy conference can't.
Right.
And I think when you watch Arshe, when you hear Arshe, when you hear Alvin and Malcolm and Pookie and Preston, you understand with razor sharp clarity the impediments and really profound inequality of safety that young people in what is the most prosperous industrialized nation in the world are living in, and I know it's not PC to say this, but living in third world substandard conditions.
Right.
And we as a society have been derelict and negligent in our obligation around these neighborhoods because we, the greater we, those of us in privilege, not only created those conditions, but have benefited in many ways, right, from those conditions, as we're hearing, you know, with the events of the past 4 weeks. And so I think, you know, you see a film like this and you meet Arshe and you meet these young men and you understand talent is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Work ethic is everywhere. Intelligence is everywhere. It's access and opportunity that aren't. And again, that's a fundamentally un-American proposition, right? And yep. I think the starting line for young people and their parents, right, in neighborhoods like this, there is no starting line. And so I think you said it was, you know, so you sort of put a face to the problem. I think that's when people can emotionally relate and say, as Arshe has said to me several times, it's so important for people who are not from these neighborhoods to just walk 10 minutes in my shoes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Arshe, along those lines too, literally the beginning of the film, there's a moment that I had to stop. I had to stop the movie because it was when you and your friends were talking about the first time you saw somebody die. And, you know, and almost always it was like I was 10, I was 11. And it's just like, that's something that, you know, me here in Springfield, Illinois, you know, like that I've never had to experience. And it's, you know, it was just such an overwhelming moment there. I mean, just can you speak to that as well with, like, you know, how this could probably give people that sense of like walk a mile in these shoes for just an hour and a half here?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was just so important for me and the guys to just be honest of what we saw, because, you know, one of our producers said this line, I never forget it. He said, you know, when there's a mass shooting, you know, in some of these suburban schools, right away they send in trauma counselors, right? Mm-hmm. But we've seen this stuff almost every day and never talk to anyone about it. Right. We have to go to sleep with the sound of gunshots, right? We have to skip over pools of blood. And there's only one social worker in a school of 900. And, you know, we see what most soldiers have seen in war, right? But at 12, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And we carry those things. And it affects our lives as we get older, our relationships, the kids that we try to raise or we are raising. And I think it was important for the world to know the importance of mental health. Like, mental health crisis is not a mental health crisis, it's a health crisis. Mm-hmm. And the resources we need, right, to deal with these conditions and the access of programs like Growing and Entrepreneurship and trauma counselors in order to face these things and talk about these things, and more opportunities for mentors, because from now until I don't know how long, we're still going to wake up with it on the west side of Chicago.
Yep.
So to act now, what can we do to bring them in until we figure out the systemic issue in Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're at a time right now where so many of us feel so disconnected from other people and from each other, whether, you know, the pandemic or circumstances or political partisanship or anything. You know, there's a line in this film that stuck out to me so much. And Arshay, it was when Common was narrating all the reasons you guys were giving for going back to the Chicago Sprints. And it was one that, again, I had to stop it because it was so gorgeous to me. And you said, you can't move forward alone. And that just stuck out to me so, so much. And so would you say that it's fair that this film really captures how anything can be that common thread that can get people to see that we're so much more alike than we are different? Like for you, it was rowing and crew, but like, is it fair to say that that's like the metaphor that anything can be that can get us to get together?
Yes. And that's why I talked about my favorite film, Remember the Titans.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like to break through those walls of racism through the sport of football and great coaches and mentors who say enough is enough, right? We have to move forward to send those ripples to folks that's not even involved, right? But see it,
right,
to live the moment, right? Really move mountains. And so, yes, like, you know, it's important. Everything we do, we move together. You know, I'm sure Mary heard this a million times. One of the biggest lessons I felt like I learned from Rowan is that you can't do the work of eight people. But you need eight people to do the work and you'll get there much faster. And I mean that in everything you do. If you work in the line at a restaurant, or if you're protesting in New York, you know, when there's power in numbers and there's power in moving together. And I believe that.
And, yeah. You know, to follow up on Arshay, because he's not going to brag about himself, but Arshay is extraordinary in terms of bridge building. And I think the other metaphor to get in the boat, you have to have a dialogue, especially with people you don't agree with, people who have no understanding of who you are. And I think one of the most profound things that Arshay said to me is one of the reasons that he invited the Chicago Police Department to join them to train for this race for 8 weeks and to join them on the water was, we have to have a dialogue. They need to know our names.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that, I mean, you can't set me up for my next question any better there, Mary. So yeah, that was also the section of the movie that just, again, was, I can't believe that like happened over a year ago and that now how prescient that moment in that part of the film is. You know, we're right now in the middle of just this giant public reckoning in this country when it comes to race, how we view our history and how our police interact with our communities. And I have to say that it was just quite amazing given the current climate to see this section of the film where you guys bring those police officers to experience rowing in the same way that you did and then to ultimately row together. Both of you, if you would, just like, how meaningful was this section of the film to do and to experience in real life? Because just to be the viewer on the outside, it was very, very beautiful.
I'm going to start because this was all Arshay. Again, it goes back to Arshay being the most extraordinary connector. And we had a series of interviews with Arshay, the guys, but also their mothers. And what they revealed so profoundly was trauma, intergenerational trauma, domestic white terrorism,
yep.
And toxicity with law enforcement. And Arshay called me up, I'll never forget, a couple days later, and he said, you know, I've been thinking about this, and what's not in the film, and this again goes to Arshay's character, is Arshay had been hauled down to the police station by a cop for really no reason at all. I can't remember if you mouthed off Arshay or not, but he was working as a barista, saw the cop 2 weeks later and said, "Officer, this latte is on me, I'm really a good kid." Fast forward 20 years, that officer is in Arshay's wedding. Arshay's playing poker with him. This is Arshay Cooper. And so when Arshay called me and told me his idea, A, it was genuine, right? And B, when we showed up for that first encounter, which by the way was hashtag very awkward, I cried three times behind the camera. I could not believe what I was seeing. And I felt like we were miles away from this planet, mm-hmm. that we were on planet Arshay in a galaxy far, far away where things could be different. Mm-hmm. And that will, so Arshay, I've just set you up for a year. But what an amazing gesture by Arshay.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I had to. Right. Mm-hmm. There's so many different movements, right, to try to get the message across. And I felt like a dialogue and a conversation is important. I thought it was important that we take them to the same water we started at, where we hated each other. You know what I mean? It didn't get along, but changed our lives. And I said, just maybe, you know, a dialogue can start here. And, you know, for me, I just want to say, like, if the whole world, right, disagreed, right, what I saw in the film that was awesome is that the moms agreed, because, you know, the moms have a fear of losing their sons to gang violence, and the moms have a fear of losing their sons to the hands of police brutality. Those are two big fears that they have. And we were already connecting the gang members, right? And that was working. And we're trying to show how that works through access and opportunities and through dialogue. And I felt like I needed to have a conversation with the police officer. And what better way to do it than through sports? And, you know, you teachers can forget some of their students. Not all, but some of their students. But students never forget a teacher. And to put them in a we were teachers, and to teach them how to row is something that I think they would never forget, right? And and I got a call, a text when George Floyd was killed, and that showed me when they seen his face, they seen our face. They remember the teacher. And I thought that was really important. And that was the goal, to bridge the water, to bridge the community through sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, it definitely worked. It worked on me. It was just, again, just overwhelming things in this film. But, you know, Mary, I've worked on a few films and stuff, so I'm always fascinated by the process of editing and filmmaking and stuff. And this movie, it paces that human narrative with the athletic endeavor so well, I think. There's just like, you know, every time that we're getting the heavy stuff, so to speak, and the real human drama, and then we're right back into it. Okay, but now they're trying to, you know, row it out as well and everything, and I just thought that was a great thing. So was that a deliberate choice by you, you know, to show that like the how rowing helped them cut through the hardships and provided that release, because it certainly does for the viewer?
Thank you for that. And, you know, part of sort of constructing the architecture of things like that is the pacing. Mm-hmm. And I, in particular, I have the attention span of a puppy. And so if I start to get bored with something, I know, whoop, cut, whoop, cut, whoop, cut. Right. And so I'm a firm believer in lots of music, right? I channeling my inner Spike Lee, right? Spike Lee, his work is full of big music, and for the same reason, right? That the music is an additional character. It tells an emotional story as you go along. Mm-hmm. And your point around not being so heavy, I think, again, this is the human condition that is playing out in this film in a variety of different ways. And the human condition also has, as Arshay has reminded me over and over again, it has joy, it has hope, it has optimism, it has tragedy, it has a profound unfairness, it has institutional impediment. But at the end of the day, it is about the human condition in all its forms.
Yeah, absolutely there. And, you know, this is a movie about rowing, but it's about so much more. You know, it's about overcoming and perseverance and resiliency. And, you know, Arshay, you and your family and the other guys and their families, they went through so much to get to where you were and where you are. But, you know, like this film gives you such a great platform to speak to people who might be in the same spot. So, like, what would you want to say to someone in maybe a similar situation that's having trouble getting to tomorrow or seeing past their current circumstances?
Yeah, to a young person, to a young man or a young girl in those communities, I would say find the courage and confidence to, number one, talk to someone, a teacher, But I think what I did was I kind of figured out what was missing in my life, and I didn't have a father. So I showed up to the coach house all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I found the coach, right? And a teacher. I didn't have, you know, my brother was in gangs and I knew I didn't want to do that. So I joined a team, right? And for some people, it may be chess or, you know what I mean? It may be art, but join the team, right? And build a relationship, build a bond or a brotherhood, a sisterhood through that team, even if it's not athletics. And, you know, and there was no food. So I always kind of went to the church, the local church, the community center, hung out. And, you know, and so, you know, my, you know, I would say, like, talk to the teacher, right? And ask about the resources in the neighborhood. And, you know, and join the team. And I think, you know, that's a start.
Yeah.
And to follow up on our Shay, if there's rowing, there's a trauma specialist who is writing a book with Oprah. And he said to me, you know, the sport itself is exceptionally poised for healing because it's rhythmic, it's meditative. Arshay has talked before about not being triggered by a combat sport, right? So for young people in trauma, the sport of rowing is sort of, not only is it healing as are other rhythmic sports, but again, for the reasons that Arshay outlined, you are getting in a boat with people you may not know. You may have turf, neighborhood, whatever the differences are, but you cannot move forward unless you're together. And there's sort of a double beauty in all of that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've only got one more question for both of you here before we, you know, talk about some, you know, where else people can find you. But it might be a little bit of a walk here, but go with me. I've been, you know, I'm a musical theater person at heart, and I've been obsessed with the musical Hamilton ever since it came out in 2015. And every time I listen to it, at the second to last song, there's a line that that Alexander Hamilton says, which is, you know, a legacy. What is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. And that just always just kills my heart a little bit, because it's just like, it's so true. You have to make these steps so that things can get better, but you might not ever get to see them get better. So as you, you know, are on the eve here of your release of this film and the stuff that you worked so hard to get out there, this might be a big question, so take all the time you need, but like, what do you hope the legacy of this film, of this story is? What do you hope carries on into the next generation, into the next person that sees it, that can carry it on to someone else? What would you hope the legacy of Most Beautiful Thing is?
Arshay, you want to go first, or you want me to? Well, you know, why don't I go first so that you can have the last word? How's that? I think there are two pieces. If this can inspire a young person, no matter where they are, they matter, right? Number two, I think that if those in power with the levers of change can see this film and walk 10 minutes in Arshay's shoes, and if there can be legislative change or otherwise around eradicating trauma in these under-resourced neighborhoods, what a huge win. And I think thirdly, we're seeing extraordinary philanthropy open up in the wake of this project already to support Arshay's work. And there is a Most Beautiful Thing Inclusion Fund that has launched to support a nationwide effort that Arshay is going to be right in the middle of, around making the sport and the lessons, right, much more accessible to young people in under-resourced neighborhoods, which is so exciting. And we are partnering with Comcast NBC Universal for a greater platform for the message. And then Fila is going to be dropping a Most Beautiful Thing shoe with proceeds to benefit the Most Beautiful Thing Inclusion Fund. So The work will continue, my friend, and over to Arshay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the same couple of things that Mary hit on. Number one, that young people in every public school or no matter where they are can live a life that may be similar to mine or Malcolm or to Preston's, and they feel like they can't make it out. I think this story shows no matter how hard it is, there is a roadmap, that there is hope, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And I think for adults, you know, I go back to my favorite, one of my favorite lines of the film in a barbershop when Pooh said, when they tore down the YMCAs, I ran to the streets.
Ran to the streets.
You know, and, you know, to show, like, Mary's a people of power, the power of access, right? To put resources back into these communities and give opportunities, right? And go to the places where people don't want to go. Those are places that need it most. And to give their time, their talent, and treasure to make sure there's equity in our country.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that this film is going to go a long, long way in helping that dialogue and in supplementing what we're already seeing on the streets and in all of the cities across the United States right now. I'm truly hopeful personally that this is a moment where we can all change and we can all recognize the roles we've played and where we're at and move forward together. As you say, Arshay, we cannot move forward alone. So you two are so amazing human beings here. I want people to connect with you. Mary, where can people find you online if they want to know more about your work and what you're doing?
Well, we've got amostbeautifulthing.com for the film. Mm-hmm. I'm everywhere at Mary Mazzio on Twitter, on Insta, on Facebook. And then our larger site is 50eggs.com for the body of our work. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Arshay, where can people find you?
Yeah, Arshay Cooper on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, www.arshaycooper.com. And you can find my book, A Most Beautiful Thing, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or everywhere books are sold. And again, mostbeautifulthing.com. You can find me on that website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the film is amazing. Find it, find it, find it. I'm going to keep screaming it until everybody I know has seen it. Guys, Mary, Arshay, thank you so, so much for joining us today and giving us some time.
Thank you
so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, folks, there you have it. My interview with Mary Mazzio, the director, and Arshay Cooper of A Most Beautiful Thing. Just a wonderful conversation. I again thank them for spending some time with me in the midst of their publicity tour for this film. Please, 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 however you have to find it, go find it. This is a documentary that is going to lift you up in a time where we so desperately need things to lift us up. And that is definitely the takeaway that I have from this film. If you want to find more from the Front Row Network, including all of our interviews, all of our articles, all of our podcasts, and all of our various shows, you can go to nprillinois.org. Find us online on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for the Front Row Network, and of course on Twitter at Front Row Reviews with a Z. If you want to hear more of my personal musings, I am at jgeck, J-G-O-E-C-K, on Twitter. Thanks again, everyone, and as always, we will see you in the front row.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. You can also find and follow us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, and Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter.